Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It is one thing to travel across the wilderness in order to arrive at a destination, but it is quite another to wander around a wasteland for 40 years. The Israelites did both. As they left Egypt and made their way to Mount Sinai, the plan was to continue on to the promised land of Cana, the land promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, the patriarchs. And they did. But when they sent 12 men to spy out the land of Cana to see what their new homeland would be like, and what would be required of them in order to take possession, to occupy it, events took a dramatic turn. The spies returned, speaking highly of the land, but they were terrified of the people that were living there. Yes, Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey, but the inhabitants were giants, and they were warlike. The spies spoke with fear, and their fear was contagious, spreading throughout the community of Israel. God's people were terrified, even paralyzed. And in their fear, they refused to go forward. It was because of this act of unfaithfulness, the people's lack of trust in the Lord who had brought them out of Egypt, that the Israelites became wanderers for 40 years. None of the people who were 20 years old and older would ever dwell in the land of Canaan. The exceptions were the households of Caleb and Joshua, for they were the faithful spies who confessed their trust in the Lord's ability to deliver this land into the hands, even as he had promised to do so. All the rest would die in the wilderness. Only their children would enter the land of Canaan. It is one thing to travel across the wilderness to arrive at a destination, and quite another to wander around the wasteland for 40 years. The wilderness between Egypt and Canaan was a land of suffering and a land of death, and a land where they were sentenced to suffer because of their sin. A land that would claim their lives one by one until all perished. To make this reality even worse, they had seen the promised land. They had been given a glimpse of the promised land. And so they had that to compare their situation as they wandered in the wilderness. They had seen the beautiful destination, and they had forsaken the blessing that God had promised them. They realized that they had been unfaithful and failed to trust their God. Sin, that which exiles us from God, sin, that which separates us from life, sin, that which sends us into the wilderness of suffering and death. Sin, there's no escaping it, though we've tried. The Israelites tried to go into Canaan without God. All of their fears were realized. And so they were left to wander in the wilderness, to face suffering and death. We also attempt from time to time to conquer sin by our own merits and strength, or to cover it up, or to excuse it, or to say that it's not sin. And we too fail and find ourselves lost and wandering. Sin forbids our entrance into the land flowing with milk and honey. The law shows us that which exiles us from God, because the law is meant to show us our sin. The promised land where the Lord provides is a place where the Hebrews would live in houses that they did not build and eat from vineyards and orchards which they did not plant. The land of Canaan is a land flowing with milk and honey where there is no lack. It is a land of plenty, a land of perfection, as perfect as it could be. It's the promised land. This land is not only where the Lord provides abundantly, but also a place where the Lord will dwell with his people. But the wilderness, not the wilderness. This promised land of the Lord's provision and presence for Israel points us to another promised land. Canaan reminds us of another place of plenty, another place of perfection without exception. This is a place we know as heaven. Truly, there is no lack or want in the courts of heaven. Truly, it is the place where the Lord dwells, where his presence is, and where his people live in his presence in heavenly mansions which have been prepared for them. But there is sin. There is sin in the wilderness. How does one exit the land of suffering and death and enter the land of life and eternal joy? Well, the journey out of the wilderness must go through the waters. For the people of Israel, the way was through the Jordan River. It is not a journey upon which they embark alone, because the Lord is with them. It is not a journey they take to make themselves acceptable to God once again. No, we can't do that. He declares us acceptable to him. It is not a journey they plan out, work out. It's not a journey that they carry out. This is a journey that is brought about by God, by his direction, by his instruction. This journey begins with the Lord leading the way, the Ark of the Covenant, the dwelling place of the Lord with his people leads the way. And then the feet of those carrying this holy ark, when they touch the waters of the Jordan, the waters part and the path stands dry and wide before the people. The Lord prepares the way. The Lord leads the way. We know the Lord to be the way. The presence of the Lord goes before Joshua and the people. The exile is over. They have journeyed from the wilderness into the promised land. They've returned. Now, of course, Moses is no longer with them. It's Joshua. And there has been considerable change in the makeup of the population of the children of Israel. So also has the Lord our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, gone before us. Jesus goes down into the waters of the Jordan to be baptized by John. The sinless one from God needs no cleansing, but we do. He steps into those waters to fulfill all righteousness. By his baptism, our sins are taken up and placed upon this Holy One of God. And in an act of complete reversal, Jesus takes our sins not into the promised land, but rather back into the wilderness. He goes through the waters into the wilderness, carrying our sins back to the evil one. And because Christ carries our sins, we no longer do. The wilderness of sin, the place of suffering and death, is no longer our dwelling place. The path has been cleared of obstacles and the journey lies ahead. The way to the promised land is open before us, but it's still through the waters. Now those waters have been cleansed and purified so that as we have been baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection in these waters, we have been granted forgiveness, life, eternal salvation. These waters make us the children of God, those who have been renewed and restored in his presence. We have passed through the wilderness and through the waters into the promised land of everlasting life. The journey from the wilderness to the promised land of heaven is not one we embark upon alone, not one that we plan out, not one that we work out, not one that we even carry out. It is the journey Christ first made to prepare the way. He has gone through the waters to prepare them for our baptism into the kingdom, and he has now gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. That's his promise, that we have not built with our own hands, and to provide for us a great feast that we have not prepared. He has gone to the right hand of the Father to prepare a place for us that we might go and be with him forevermore. That where he is, we may be also. In Jesus' name, amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.